Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
go! Welcome to the Kino Tri Show. Whether it's ratchet or inspirational, dope or disturbing, let's talk about it. You never know who'll stop through. This dude's worldwide. So kick your feet up, relax, and let the libations flow. It's the Kino Tri Show. All the cool kids are listening. Don't be a Stanley.
Yes. What's up? What's up? This is another episode of the Kino Tri Show. It is Tuesday, August 11th, and we are in the building. I got my co-host, Jameel Harley, a.k.a. Young Beige.
What up?
And we got a special guest in the house, man, all the way from Oakland, California. Give a round of applause for Todd Turner in this piece.
Hey.
Oh, we got to...
Wait, oh, we're going to... Okay, hey, all right.
Gotta make it official.
Yeah, right. And then they just stop.
It just stops.
Man, you got your crowd. They're untamed. They're like,
it's over. It's over. So what's up, man? It's a long time
no
see,
man.
For my listeners out there, man, Todd Turner, formerly of Atlanta, he was a comic, a photographer, DJ. I don't know what it all is that you do.
You know, if I mispronounce your name, you felt compelled to change it. I don't know.
Glad you're back, man. So how's Oakland treating you, man?
Oh, man, Oakland is real. That's about the best way I could sum it up. Oakland is very real.
Well, how real is Oakland?
You know what? Living here in Atlanta, I think we are accustomed to a certain type of lifestyle. We're used to a certain type of lifestyle. And I'm not saying Atlanta makes us soft, but Oakland will definitely remind you how real the world can get.
So is it the Too Short Oakland that we've seen of old, you know, a lot of old schools,
you know,
riding around?
Too Short Oakland sounded like sexy. I was like, man, Too Short Oakland, you know, that's
big,
right? it's more like I'm scared of those two white guys. I'm crossing the street right now, Oakland.
Oh,
you know, when I think of Oakland, I never visit. When I think of Oakland, I think of the Black Panther movement. Is there still like a good remnant or?
You know, it's funny you say that, man. It is. All right, so like everywhere else, you know, like let's say, for example, Black Lives Matter, Black Panther,
right?
Same subject, similar. Anywhere else, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement is going to be 90% black people, you know, maybe a couple others. But for the most part, maybe 95% black people. Oakland is like the one place I'd say the Black Lives Matter movement or, you know, that whole genre of movement, black people maybe 40%. You know,
really?
You got some active ass white people.
Really?
You know? Yeah. Whites, Latinos.
I know you got a strong Asian population out there.
Big Asian population out there. Everybody, like the environment, and I think that's why the Black Panther movement was even able to start and be function out there, is because there's such an activist environment amongst everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's in the struggle because, you know, it's Oakland,
yeah. And it's,
you know, ain't nobody rich, yeah. You know, so kind of like, I know you see a different type of people coming together. You know,
and that's one thing I found out in actually doing my own research outside of the public school system history context. Is that whenever you see a movement like the Black Panthers, they went for the advancement of their people first. But if you was poor, you kind of got in the movement too, because we, you know, mm-hmm. we all trying to eat some oatmeal from time to time. And
yeah, and that's definitely what you feel. I mean, Oakland in general just has I know people in Oakland hate to hear this, but it makes you think about Brooklyn, the way just like
it's like
everybody in Brooklyn's
hustling.
From Brooklyn, you
yeah.
know, and we all Brooklyn, you know.
Yeah. Hey, yo, Brooklyn, stand
yeah.
up, Dunstan, word up, baby.
You know what? I living out here. There's certain people that come from different places and they mm-hmm. represent where they're from. I never came across a heavy Oakland population here, and I was told that if you're from Oakland, you stay your ass in Oakland. They don't really venture out. And like
you meet a lot of people from Oakland in Oakland. You know, where like here, it's rare to meet somebody from Atlanta. You know what I mean?
Right,
yeah,
right.
They're Oakland's very much Oakland.
So they don't have too many transplants in Oakland. Like everybody that's there is born and raised.
Yeah, they kill their transplants
right now. Oakland and I say, like, all right, so I say Oakland's the new Brooklyn, and I say that twofold. So Oakland will remind you of Brooklyn, 90s
before
Brooklyn. Yeah, but now it's also
getting gentrified.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. Because San Francisco is so expensive, man. It's insane to live in San Francisco that, like, a lot of the artists and whatnot are moving to Oakland. So Oakland's kind of like the hip, artistic place to be, you know.
Doesn't Nas have a shoe store out there in Oakland?
Probably. I know there's
Soul
Maybe.
Maybe.
It's somewhere
know.
In California.
I mean, I'm a sneaker fan, man. I get a lot of stuff out of the UK and whatnot when I'm wearing sneakers. But there is a spot downtown Oakland called Soul Space. And that could be Nas' spot.
Let me look that up. I know he's somewhere
Google
out
that.
In California.
Jordan, Google that. I got my son in it. You didn't even introduce my son, man.
Oh,
The twin, Todd.
Yeah, Todd's son is 14, taller, and his twin.
Okay, that's enough. All right, let's...
If anybody was to have a true replacement, that is a stand-in.
Right,
he's second string.
Right. 100.
kind of like
200 stuff.
You go home, your wife be like, all right, number one, sit down. Number
like,
two, you're in.
You know, Straight Outta Compton's coming out, and Ice Cube has his son portraying
Looks
him. If there
like
was
him.
A story to be done about Taj.
See, you know what?
Right up. Right,
hey, but that'd be, you know, because he's taller.
Yeah,
you know, so like my movie would be
make you look
be
like
pretty
him.
Dope, right?
The people that actually knew him be like,
oh man,
look like him, but
right,
he's a little too tall.
So this is Nas' spot. Nas open.
So what's Nas' shoe store called? Because I
12
heard
12 a.m. run.
Yeah, where is it at? It's in Cali, though, right?
What is this? It don't look like Oakland here.
It's probably not in Oakland.
It's somewhere out west.
Las Vegas.
Man,
I knew it was somewhere out west. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, shoot, you
Oh, man. It's hot out there, right?
About a 7-hour drive off, but you know, it's close enough. Give or take a few miles.
Hey.
Well, I just want to tell the callers, the callers, listeners, everybody, if you want to call in and talk live on the show, the number is 607-203-5368. And make sure you press 1 so we know you want to talk, and we'll put you on the air live. This is a good
call
time.
Call me.
It's a good time. We're about to take a short break so we can get things together, and we'll be back in a few minutes. You listen to the Keno Tri Show.
Thing coming, little nigga. We grew up on the same block. We went through the groove, I pump fear. And don't be looking at my man, help, I'm peeping you. I hate you or not, my size, it'll be deep in you. Forget that peace treaty when you step into a sweetie. Sucker, you can't understand, I got his back up if he needs me. Just like that bunny and Clyde, all that gangster and that hoochie. Yeah, I gotta have me a brother strong enough to grow me.
Yes, we are back, man. We
are
back.
That was the hardest I ever heard, Mia.
Wow.
She was tipsy that
day. Right? Yeah, yeah, over a gangster beat.
Right?
Okay. You know what? You know what you're doing.
You know what you're listening to. Okay.
Break yourself and listen to the Keno Trice Show.
We were talking about the new Straight Outta Compton movie right before we went to break. How many people out there are going to see Straight Outta Compton this Friday? This Friday. I'm leery myself because there's been a lot of shootings going on at the movie theater.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Well, there's been a lot of shootings going on filming the movie. Right? So,
oh, yeah, yeah. And, right? And people getting ran over.
You
so,
know?
Yeah.
So people shooting at the movie?
Yeah.
Why?
Lives have been lost over this movie. It should be a legendary, epic, life
yeah, right?
altering film.
I doubt any of the words that you just mentioned would be associated with this movie. I was just telling Taj, it's kind of ironic to me how from the trailers, like they're trying to promote NWA as these revolutionary rappers,
right?
Just because they had one song called F the Police. But from if my memory serves me correctly, that was the first rap group that like just outright just disrespected the black woman like freely.
Yep. Yep. And then Snoop followed up with biatch.
Yeah. I mean, growing up, because we all grew up like seeing the birth of NWA,
yeah,
which was the birth of gangster rap.
Yeah.
And like I think we were all just kind of like,
uh-oh.
Oh yeah, well, I didn't think we could. I thought we just talked about, like, yeah, you know.
I thought we loved our women.
Right?
Yeah, it went straight from Black Power to NWA, but man, mm-hmm, it was so fun back in the day, man.
It was fun.
When NWA hit the scene, it was a different kind of fun. It was a bad kind of fun, but
yeah. Man, let me tell you, man. I couldn't even touch cassette tapes like that.
Nope.
Man, my mama was such a holy roller, boy. That was the devil in them cassette tapes.
My mom was too. And when the DLC came out, she had gave me a gift card for Christmas to a music store, and I went and got the DLC tape.
Ooh.
And you, if you remember the DLC album, yep, DLC was clean all
I
the way
he
through.
He was pretty dope.
Yeah,
Diggy
he was
Diggy
dope.
Doc.
Yeah, yeah, he was dope, and he was clean all the way through until that last song. On the second side,
what was it
called? The grand finale, which
got it all
back in the
there.
Day when you had a crew, the last song of your album would be everybody from the crew. So it was MC Ren, Dr. Dre, uh-huh, Ice Cube,
yeah, that's,
and
yeah,
the first words come out was MF and something, and just so happened my mom was asleep that day. My mom came in my room, and for whatever reason pushed play on. Oh my man, she pulled that out, ripped the tape up,
oh,
put me on punishment. I'm like, dang, all this from a nap?
I did not produce this album, mama.
Right, and you bought it.
Yeah,
you know she bought it, but yeah, that one song out of anything, it could have been on Funky
man.
Enough or The Formula, but it had
man.
To be on the
man,
grand
the
finale.
Formula,
y'all had
Funky
some
enough.
Different kind of mamas, because I remember being in the backseat of my mama singing Push It. and being so mad because, like, I didn't know what Push It was about, but I knew my mama should not be singing that, you know?
Yeah, she's and she's like talking about some Push It.
And I was like, no, mama. No pushing it. You know?
Your mom's had an asymmetrical with the with the eight ball jacket.
You know what? She had the Prince. You know where it just kind of went really in the front of her face.
Oh, that Sheila.
The Sheila. Yeah. Come on, push it. Still ain't forgave her for that one.
You should call her and be like,
"Go to
that
commercial break.
I need a moment."
Well, I mean, that song. Everybody was singing that song though.
So I wasn't.
I still got that song in my set.
And you're, that's what you do. Yeah.
Every time I hear it now, I just think like I just go in a place. You know, I just go to a
dang,
a
was she
place.
Naked with you?
She was just feeling it a little too much. You know what I mean?
In front of your friends, is that
right? Yeah. I'm just sitting in the back steaming.
Actually, that brings up me and my wife had a conversation about most embarrassing moments that your parents have ever done to you. And I remember growing up, some kids just having embarrassing parents, like mama with the rollers in the head all the time.
Yeah.
But I told this story of a friend of mine who his mom drove a beat up raggedy Cadillac. And we went to an all-black high school, and the day she went to drop him off, they opened the door, and the door fell off.
Oh, wow.
In front of the entire high school.
Damn.
Like, it got to a point by, like, the third period, we was tired of hearing jokes. They had to work them out so bad.
It was like the Straight out of Compton meme.
Yeah.
It was like, I got no more Straight out of.
Yeah.
Right.
The door falls out. And his mom never did her hair. So, like, when Chris Tucker said, "What's up with your daddy's hair? Look like Spike just having a meeting all the time." That's how her hair looked. She looked crazy.
Damn.
It's like a treasure trove.
So, you only had one of two choices that day if you was him. Either cry about it.
Fight.
Yeah, you're going to be doing a whole lot of fighting.
Either you're going to do one or the other.
Yeah. See, if I was him, I would just, the moment the door fell off, I get out the car.
Go straight to the nurse office.
Just the first person I see just start wailing on him. You know, just make an example. Are you not entertained? You know?
Or choose your words wisely, high school.
Or you come home and do one of them scenes like Cuba Gooding and Boys in the Hood just right there.
Oh, man. That's horrible there.
So, obviously, Push It was your story. I mean,
no, you know what? There was a more embarrassing one. There was a more embarrassing story. This ain't a PG.
No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, I think the most embarrassing moment, just the moment I was just like, man, would have had to been, I was just walking down the hall one day in the house, and my stepdad opened the door and was like, "Hey, Isom," because they call me by my middle name in the family. "Hey, Isom, give me the Vaseline out of the bathroom." And he had nothing on. And you know, that had to have been the most, I think,
"Hey, Isom, I got the business handle."
Yeah. And I know mom's in the room, and he's like, "Give me the Vaseline out of the bathroom."
How old?
And I had to have been 10, but at that point, I knew exactly what Vaseline was for.
Really?
You know, and I think that was the most, like, I had to just go ride my bike for a long time.
Yeah, ride it out. Right? I'm just going to ride it. I'm just going to ride, man.
You're riding, looking up at the clouds.
Right? Just about to get hit by a car.
Hey, Jamil, after this show, man, we're going to have to give him a hug. I feel a hug. Man,
I had those kind of parents.
I tell you what, man, when I come out to Oakland, I'm going to throw him, I'm going to the DJ booth, throw him the Salt and Pepper CD.
You know what?
Let's get this party started.
Send a request.
Can't play that Salt and Pepper.
So, man, the DJ, and talk about the DJ, and how's the DJ going out in Oakland, man? I see you on social media, and I see it looks like the party's hype when you DJ.
That's all in my living room. That's just, you know, family members and living room shot.
Well, you got a lot of white family members,
right?
White, black, Asian. I see everything in those crowds.
Actually, I do have a lot of white, black, Asian family members, but that's my siblings, so, you know, whatever.
You got an interesting family. We'll talk about that.
There's
in the next
a lot segment, of interracial marrying going on in my family.
So the scene, the club scene. What type of music do you do for the most part? Just a mix, club.
Yeah. So I guess to get anyone who's listening have no idea who I am. So I was a stand up comedian. That's how we all know each other.
Right.
And then I won't say I walked away, but I took a break.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody at this table at some point has taken a break. From stand up, you know,
yeah,
however long,
yeah.
And you know, I was always playing with DJing, but you know, just kind of play, you know, living room kind of situation. But I play soulful house, Afro house. Most people have no idea what that is.
Yeah, I was like Afro house.
Afro house, yeah.
The first one I could get
yeah,
with.
Yeah, I know what the first one is. What's the difference?
Well, all right, so most people don't even know what soulful house is. The most common thing you will soulful house DJs or Afro house DJs will get asked is, "What kind of music is this?" You know, because they like it, but they don't. You know, they're like, "What is it?
I can't stop moving."
Yeah, what is this? You know, we're like, "This is soulful house," or you know, and they're just like, "Really?" Because I think in most people's minds, like soulful house is like a fat lady. You know, you know, why waste your time?
You know, you know you're gonna be my
I right? got the power.
Yeah, yeah, just everything from like 88 to 92, you know. But you know, in reality, it's soulful, man. And the funny thing is, some of the biggest soulful house DJs are here in Atlanta.
Oh, really?
DJ Kimmett, Salah, Ramon Russell.
Where do they play?
Kai Alfred, man, they play a lot of spots. Yeah, MJQ,
Opera, probably Opera,
Music
no,
Room.
Opera don't never play that.
Nah.
Tongue
Opera's kind of all white. White
Groove don't
DJ.
Play that either. You out the loop, bro?
Oh yeah, I've been gone. I've been gone a long time.
They play in the top 20.
Yeah, but yeah, Music Room, all of them spots on Edgewood. That's popping now.
Man, Edgewood has a totally different feel.
Right?
Gentrification has hit
that
historic Atlanta with massive proportions.
I'm just waiting on like this one white person gonna buy MLK's house and like renovate, tear down, and renovate
it into a
furniture out on yards.
I don't
right.
need
this
no more.
It's really old.
Yeah. But there is a lot of spots up and down Edgewood. I mean, I hadn't been there, but it sounds like some of them when they do party play house music. I've been down there to do comedy.
Well, the sound. Days. I mean, you know, I guess we go to my SoundCloud, toshturner.com. But the sound is very different. It's not what you know. It's not Night at the Roxy. And I think the word house makes people think about like Night at the Roxy. Yeah, you know what I mean. But it's actually like you know a lot of soulful producers will take like an old Luther Vandross cut and you know mix it into you know this real like Afrocentric beat. You know, I mean because at the end of the day, it's just a matter of having it a 4-count beat. You know, boom, boom, boom. It don't have to be you know that. That Night at the Roxy sound, you know, there could be a boom,
look,
you know,
I mean, you can
pull up old National Geographic episodes when they're in Africa, you know, expose in some tribe, and we can break that down to show you how essentially that tribe is playing Afro house.
Mm-hmm.
We just did not know that they were still on a 4-count beat. Mm-hmm. That is the original beat of the original man, and the original man is from where.
Watch out now, hop to him, Todd.
So if we go to one of your parties, it just happened to be some Africans in the house. They jump in the highest.
Oh man, well you know that's the cool thing about Oakland. Because you go to an Afro house event in Oakland, man, you're going to see everybody. And everybody clearly knows what the fuck's going on. You know what I mean? Like, you see white people, and they singing along. You're like, how do they even know?
I mean, they're not catching the beat, but they...
Right. No, they're catching the beat.
Word.
They, dude, Oakland is a very different spot, man.
Wow. Got to get to
the first thing I thought when I got off the plane here is, man, the ratio of Georgia distress caps, polo shirts... cargo shorts with flip flops is really high here. Y'all got white people here. We got people that are technically white there, but they're not like white. Y'all got white people in Atlanta.
So Oakland, they got a little bit of soul, a little bit of flavor.
Oakland, they got thick
culture.
Skin.
Yeah,
you know, like I said, it's like Brooklyn. You know, like you can meet a doctor. You can be like, "Where are you from?" He's like, "I'm from Brooklyn." Like,
Brooklyn,
where
son. Where are you from? Bro? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm from.
So yeah, if you want to just take this down to the pharmacy downstairs.
Oh man, let's go to Oakland.
Let me ask you this: since how long you been DJing? Like seriously?
Seriously, I'd say about 4 or 5 years.
4 or 5 years. Now, do you plan on? Or are you already producing music?
I do some remixes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll do remixes, and you know, sometimes I hold them for myself. You know, a good DJ has like a couple of like secret weapons that you know they may be known for playing, but people can't necessarily like get their hands on. So a lot of times if I'm doing like a dub, you know, like a not dubstep, but just like a dub is a type of way to remix. You know, I hold it on. I hold it myself so I can play in my sets. You know, and then every now and then when I'm, you know, I'm done playing with it, I'll, you know,
release it to
there.
The public.
Yeah.
I'll let the peasants.
Oh, no.
Thank you for the music.
He got that Prince thing going on. Some secret music, you know, you can only hear it when you come to his parties or come to his house.
I mean, because a good DJ, you're going to, you know, like, remember back in the, I don't know how long y'all been in Atlanta, but like back in the day when, you know, Club Kaya, I'm going way back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Kaya.
You know, Kaya was playing, you know, and like Kaya. Even Frank Ski, I don't think people realize Frank Ski was a dope.
Yeah,
DJ.
Back in
the
Doodoo
Brown. Yeah, man. He used to have his party called Northern Exposure.
Yeah, Northern Exposure. And Club Kaya.
Man, and he would be playing like some DC go go and hip hop reggae, and he was playing Soulful House.
Oh wow.
You know? And like Atlanta had a big, like back then, Soulful House, you know, like, and hip hop was, you know, you could, because back then a DJ would play, remember he would play segments. You know, DJ be spinning, and he'd have like a reggae 15 minutes where he was just playing some reggae tracks, and then he'd have like a house 15 minutes, and then an old school 15 minutes, and then he'd give you like the new stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Where I'm from, DJs didn't do that.
No?
Nah. Because where I'm from in Indiana, the DJs are a lot different, I find, when I go around the country. Like, we blend, we put songs together, like, scratch it in, and boom, and like, we'll play like anything from like old Marvin Gaye and mix it with a Master P.
Nice.
Back up off
and piss everybody off. Had the thugs jumping, then the.
Hey, the thugs be like, "Oh, this is my jam!"
Right. that was some nostalgia there, though. Shout out! I know my wife's listening, but I remember back in the day at Club Kaya, when they was on and popping. I remember one night me and my wife hung out there years ago, but that was before we was
before y'all even knew. Yeah, watch out! Knew.
Hey, at Club Kaya, one night we shut it down.
Watch out, Miss Keno. You knew about it though.
I mean, those who remember like that real fun Atlanta, that like you actually partied to 8
man,
in the morning.
Yeah. Kaya 112. Ooh, Atlanta,
the real
112. Live.
Oh, Atlanta Live.
Atlanta Live. Hush your mouth. Ooh. Hush your mouth.
I got here when the Vision came and left.
See, and we were mad at Vision because
why?
Vision shut down Club Kaya. It shut down Club Kaya and Earwax Records.
How did
they shut Earwax because they were all on that same corner, remember?
Yeah, they were in the same center.
I just remember Vision on one side and then 112 on the other side.
See, yeah.
112 was like,
and that was the old Riviera. 112 used to be on Cheshire Bridge.
Yeah, Cheshire Bridge. That was the popping 112. Yeah. That's where all the drug dealers, all the rappers, everybody came. I mean,
where like when Jay-Z was rapping about like would get your hands up.
Yeah,
like he was rapping about 112.
Yeah,
about like you go to Waffle House at 8 in the morning, which was a block away.
I was just about to say that. That's the first time I've seen Jay-Z in person was at 112. And
yep.
A lot of people don't know this. He was dating T-Boss at the time because he walked in with T-Boss one night, hung
uh-oh,
out all night.
Spilling beans.
Right? Uh-oh, watch out now.
He went chasing waterfalls.
Yeah, and 112 was actually, they threw Faith Evans through the glass. I don't know if you remember that. Front door security threw Faith Evans through the front door, and that was like the beginning and the end at the 112 on Cheshire Bridge. But yeah, it was off the chain. Stars didn't even get love in there.
Yeah,
like, it was just so.
Yeah,
I remember going to the 112 across the street from Vision. I used to see I didn't go there that much. I went there when I couldn't get into Vision.
That 112 was whack. By the time I made it on there, it was whack.
What's Ludacris buddy's name? The little short dude.
Boom Daddy? I don't know.
Nah. Oh. I saw I-20 and then the other dude, the little short dude. They was, every time
Chingy.
I went
to,
Chingy. Before Chingy.
No, that's, he's the other one's.
Sure, Ludacris short. You talking about what short dude he's hanging out
with? This dude was shorter than Ludacris, but. Yeah, I never had a good time in 112, but when I was in Vision.
I didn't either, man. When Visions changed the face of clubbing in Atlanta, because Visions, like before that, it was all about like we partied till the morning, and then when Visions came on, it was like, nah, we partied with $1,000 of liquor, and you know,
yeah,
check out
Ray
the
Lewis,
car we got outside.
I think Ray Lewis messed the party up.
Ray Lewis shut down a whole party
Buckhead.
District.
Yeah,
right.
After he killed that dude, like it wasn't no more partying until 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
He was like, I don't know what happened. I don't even know.
We can go back even further than that. 559 ruined it.
Oh, 559.
559 ruined it because when 559 burnt down, and I don't know if y'all remember, like 559 all the hood folk would just circle around West End Mall.
Yeah, I didn't.
The week after it burnt down, they was all in Buckhead.
Oh yeah,
swerving. You know,
you know
mashing,
what? That is right. Right. That is right.
And that's when Buckhead was.
Yeah,
ruined.
When 559 shut down. Yes, they all came to Buckhead.
Like literally the next day.
And there was a popular bar in Buckhead called the World Bar. And the World Bar was they were world renowned for having the cheap drinks. Like you could get shots of Crown for $2, no lie.
Yep.
And so once you tell Negroes about a drink discount, it's over.
It's because we don't ever get them,
man.
Oh man, I remember World Bar.
World Bar, and I used to hang at the World Bar before 559 shut down, where you could literally park on the street in Buckhead in front of the clubs. Like it wasn't, you know.
Oh. If you was a black dude in Buckhead before 559 shut down, you was good real estate.
But a white girl, no. But
I had a motorcycle too. I had a Ninja. Woo!
Boy, yeah, I had a motorcycle too riding through there. But
all you had to do was just sit on the bike.
Yeah, I'm see how long you've been in Atlanta. Do you remember Club Excess?
Over on Cortland.
Moreland Avenue. Cortland was another club.
S.O. Yeah.
Cortland was S.O.
I feel like Steve right now.
Oh, boy, that was back in the 90s when Atlanta was really popping. Freaknik and all that going on. But it was a day and a...
Oh, man.
Different day, different time.
Freaknik.
Let me take a break. We're talking about Freaknik. And we got a call away. We see you in a queue, caller.
Hold on, caller.
We're going to take a small break. Then we're going to come back, take a call, and we're going to talk about Freaknik.
Yeah.
All right, we are back. Need a little break. It was getting hot and heavy. We was talking about old Atlanta.
Man, I miss old Atlanta.
Before we went to the break, we were talking about we were about to start talking about Freaknik. Anybody got memories of Freaknik that they want to share? I don't have.
No.
Yeah, I don't.
That was okay.
No, well, no.
All right, so I remember the greatest Freaknik of all, because I had just moved here from Sacramento in '93.
I was about to guess. I was about to say '94, but '93 is just
93
good.
Was the greatest Freaknik of all. I moved here on a Tuesday in April, and my grandmother lived. I lived with my grandmother as a teenager. She lived in Midtown Atlanta. And, you know, so it just came up to the weekend, and she's like, oh, you going to go to the park? And it looks like there's something going on at the park. And I look out the window. She lives like on the 8th floor of a building.
Yeah.
And all I see is lowriders. I see, like giant groups of, like, Kappas, AKAs, Deltas, you know. And it's just like, it looks like the best Boys in the Hood scene you could come up with. But nobody's getting shot, right?
Right.
So
right.
I run down there. They got a huge stage in the middle of Piedmont Park. Like, this was legit. Like, they had city permits and whatnot. Saw Snoop Dogg perform for free. Saw, the whole Death Row was there perform.
Oh,
Wu-Tang
wow.
Wu-Tang was
somebody
there.
Somebody got
perform.
Shot afterwards, I'm sure.
The only thing that happened at that one was one of the Q's let one of their dogs out and a bunch of people ran.
They playing my song. Get them, Snooki. Get them.
Yeah, right. The first Freaknik I got to go to was in '92. I was actually still in high school, and for some reason we went to a party at Lakewood Amphitheater. They was having some big bash there, and at the time my homeboy I was rolling with, he had a BMW, so we was balling. It was ballerific. And actually, when we went in, I met Chris Webber that day, but that was like his first year in Michigan. And so he was out there looking broke. That's when he had money. But there was actually a couple of celebrities. It was just the biggest party. I had never seen anything like that because I had came down here from Cincinnati, Ohio. And in Cincinnati, we never saw black people couldn't congregate like that.
No.
More than 10 or 12.
And then freaking, they're doing it with attitude.
They're doing it with attitude, drinking. You know? And it's black people as far as you can see because this is my sensories is just in overload right now because I had never seen nothing like that. So I was just in awe. Like, even on the ride home, I was like, I had never seen nothing like that in my life. It was just black people, young black people. They had money, cars, women, just everything.
And they were all students. I mean, like, when I tell you I was at the concert at Piedmont Park, I would see a giant red section, a giant purple section. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I saw videotape. That's all I saw. And, I didn't see no clothes. I saw nakedness.
And I laughed when you said they were all students. Now, let's talk about the dark side of Freaknik.
Hey, we're going.
Yeah, let's.
But then came Freaknik 96.
The dark side of Freaknik, where you be riding downtown and you see people with their kids in the car trying to turn up. Right. Mama got booty shorts on and got her 6-year-old, 4-year-old, and 2-year-old in the baby seat in the back of the car.
Okay, so some of the locals wanted to participate.
Then you got the old dudes that were down there, the cat daddies, like, this is the last time I'm going to roll by the AU. I'm going to make this the last year. Like, you 40, so you got, you starting to gray, dude. What are you doing at Freaknik?
They still riding by the place. I'm just going to ride through. You never know. They might have got it back popping again. Let me just go through one more time.
Them old school, they got that line, young minds bring good times.
But yeah, it was disgusting. It was a lot of old people. But that was typically away from the organized events. Like, they had organized events and they had unorganized events. So
I think 94 was the last time that they got, like, city permission to be an organized event.
Yeah, because after that, it was just out of control.
Highways blocked off.
Yeah,
from
Peachtree all the way into Decatur to Memorial Drive would be on lock.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the south side, Campbellton Road, all that College Park, all that would be gridlocked.
Yeah.
People literally would shut the highway down.
Highway down, and you just get
be
out the car.
Parked and folks, out on the highway down.
Booty popping, you know.
Yeah, that's how.
Bankhead bouncing and whatnot, you know.
That's how bad it got.
Yeah.
One year, I remember going to Lenox Mall, man. They had to shut the mall down early. I mean, brothers was in there rolling dice, had a dice game going on in the pool court. Girls were getting they clothes ripped off. There was there was a twerk off. I mean, they was twerking.
Well,
back
then. We didn't call it twerking.
We didn't call
it
twerking.
Just simply booty shake.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, booty shake. Yeah.
Booty shake.
Booty shake. Yeah. So it was.
I wouldn't want to get nothing like that unless I had a helicopter, because I don't like to be packed in nowhere.
Yeah. Oh, well, you wasn't going nowhere for hours.
Oh, no, yeah. Not for hours. For and then hours. You go on the east side at the Atrium, and Kilo will be performing, Kilo G. You go on the west side, and Raheem be performing. You know, they ain't like each other back then.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This,
right?
No,
I'm taking it.
Way you're back. Taking it way back. When I first got to Atlanta, Kilo Ali ran Atlanta.
Yeah. Like, he was the king of Atlanta.
And me coming up from Cincinnati, like, you from Indianapolis, you know that most of the music we listened to was New York influence. So it was, you know, we were still listening to Boogie Down, BDP, all them. Yeah. Everything from New York was Midwest. That's what we listened to in the Midwest. So when you came to the South, they had just, in the late 80s and early 90s, they had just started developing the sound of the South. And
of Booty Shakes.
You had the Poison Clan, Luke.
69 Boys
was actually D.C. But we rocked them. We rocked them.
Well, you talking about...
No, 69 Boys out of Florida.
Oh, yeah, Florida. Sorry, I'm thinking about 95 South.
You thinking of EU or something.
95 South.
Oh, 95 South. Yeah, so by that time...
95 South was from the South, too.
Nah.
What song did they
do? 95 is D.C.
Oh, yeah, it goes...
What song did they do, though?
From Miami to D.C.
They did one of the versions of Whoop, There It Is.
Yeah, because didn't one of the DJs here produce that? Frank Ski?
There was one here. There was two versions. There was two Whoop, There It Is. And 95 South Boys, they did the one that like got on like MTV and stuff like that. And then there was another one, There It Is, that was different, that was arguably better, that came out of here.
Mm.
Well, yeah, the sound was just being developed, so this was weird to me. This was strange. This was alien music. I'm like, man, I don't like this. But when I heard
but
the
you hit a club?
Plan, though. But yeah, when you're in the club and that bass.
No matter how much you didn't like Booty Shake, when you was in the club, it became your favorite genre of music.
I bet.
When I heard Poison Clan, shout out to JT Money, I hate hoes. Hoes hate me. That changed my life.
Right.
It changed my life. I was South.
When I heard JT Money's I.
Nah. You got to listen to JT Money before that. I was watered down.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get a deal, just trying to get on somewhere. But... The Raw, I Hate Hoes, Hoes Hate Me. That Poisonous Mentality album is a classic. And
oh, man. I remember, like, and, you know, back in that time, man, like, our music, we were so happy. Like, it was, I hate to say it, but it was a happy type of music. So, like, that's why, like, there wasn't a lot of shootings and clubs and stuff like that, you know, because, like, Booty Shake was, it was just about just being country and partying in the South. And then Outkast dropped in 93.
Yeah,
and that was the man. It was so funny because when they dropped, they made everybody sound stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like you know what I mean. Like it was like if you just playing with you know blocks, and then somebody walk in the room with like Legos, and you like, damn, we up here with some ABC blocks.
They said Outkast was literally the first Southern group to get equal love in New York, like Nas. They said people I knew from New York said we played Nas and we played Outkast. Yeah. That was unprecedented.
Yeah.
Unprecedented. And I'll tell you a little story. Andre from Outkast was one of the first people I met when
you
I
just
moved
gave
the
age away.
You said what?
You always know how old somebody is.
Yeah,
if they
say
Andre or if they say Andre 3000, you know?
Oh, Andre. He was actually my neighbor. We bought a house in Decatur. His mom lived directly behind us. He was one of the first dudes I met. Outkast almost didn't make it. I almost ran him over with my mom's car, but that's a whole other story.
Is that before he was major? I mean, before they got...
Oh, yeah, yeah, before he
Well,
was
I mean, even after the first album, they were highly accessible.
Yeah.
Maybe even the second album.
Yeah.
They were highly accessible.
Yeah, I remember I came down and visited, and I think I saw him in Lenox Mall.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably. They were always in Lenox Mall, but I think the studio was somewhere near Lenox.
Mm.
They were always in Lenox Mall. I met when Tower Records was next door to Lenox Mall... I met Big Boy there, and he invited me to the Bombs Over Baghdad shoot that was at it was on Bankhead. Not Bankhead Homes. I'm sure they don't even exist now.
Yeah,
but
no telling.
Some old projects off of Bankhead. He was like, "Yeah, man, you know, come on." Cause I saw him, and I was like, "Man, you look just like Big Boy." I thought "Man, this dude looked just like if you saw my son. You're like, man, you look just like Taj, right?" Yeah. And then he was just like, "Yeah, what's up?" You know, he just started like giving me dap, and I'm like. Oh, this is Big Boy. you know? And I was like, man, that new song y'all got, because, you know, Bombs Over Baghdad changed rap again, because it was like, this ain't even a rap beat. What is this, you know?
No.
And I was like, man, that new song y'all got is going to change everything. And he was like, oh, yeah, we about to shoot the video tomorrow. It told me where to go. I show up, and the moment I drive up, I realize all I have is the word of Big Boy telling me. You know,
yeah, they're like, who is you?
Big Boy told me to come.
So I pull up, and, you know, security, and, like, you know, they got trailers. It's a video shoot. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I'm here for the video shoot. And he's like, oh, you're an extra? And I'm like, yep. He's like, yeah, all right, come on in. And
to right. So you're in that video?
I'm in the video. It's half a second. Right.
Okay.
Here we go. I'm going to line it up. Okay. There's a scene where Andre's running, and he's running by a really tall wall, a really tall, like, stone, concrete wall. At the top of the wall, there's a rail. I'm just sitting on the rail, and he runs right by me.
Yeah, we got to.
That's the only scene that made it. There was a couple other scenes, you know, we shot.
Did you holler at Big Boy at the shoot, though? Or?
Nah, because at that point, I was just, like, waiting to get kicked out the shoot.
Right.
You know, that was just like, well, I'm going to just. And then, I mean, they were like, literally, like, you, all right, you're going to. Like, there was a scene that never made it where Andre jumps over a fence, and then he's, like, he's looking around, you know, AT aliens kind of, you know. And then, like, a couple other people jump the fence and look around and would, like, run, like, right past the camera. So I was in that scene. I was like right there with him. But then that one never made it. I think I'm in the running down the hill scene too.
Running.
I gotta remember what project
seen that video
it was.
In a long time.
You right? know what? Speaking of Big Boy, I remember there used to be a club on Marietta Street called the Warehouse back in the day.
Wow.
Yeah, I took you back. I took you to the Warehouse, and I remember
Nike
Big Boy,
Pavilion.
Huh? Yeah.
Right.
I remember Big Boy. You know, Outkast blew up. I guess they got their first cars. Big Boy drove a Lexus, and
we were standing.
It was a green.
Dark green.
I don't remember the color, but I remember we were standing out front, and
that's how accessible they were.
Yeah, we were standing. Yeah, they were out, so we were standing out front of the club, and I was like, oh, there go Big Boy, you know, whatever. And some dude walks up and say, F Outkast, and kicks a big dent in the side of Big Boy's Lexus.
Damn.
And he drove off.
He just said,
yeah, just.
So he was smart enough to realize, I ain't fucking with this dumb shit.
Yeah. And that,
eventually, I'm going to be the biggest rap duo in the world.
Yeah, so that just lets you know that once you achieve certain levels of success, you cannot be out in public just riding around thinking everything is cool. And I think Big Boy got that lesson that night.
Oh, time to go.
Yeah, it was so crazy.
Move the buckhead.
Some dude just walked up and kicked the side of his Lexus. Like, F Big Boy, and just yelled some stuff. And, yeah, it was crazy.
And he was smart enough to realize, I don't need this case.
Nah.
I don't, you know.
Yeah, get out of here.
I'm buying another car. I'm good.
Had that been T.I. would have been under the jail.
Yeah, he right. shot him.
Yeah.
Went and bought more guns, shot him again.
Yeah, man. Took me back down memory lane. Man.
I don't know how far back we're going to go.
I don't know. Man. We probably need to stop and lose everybody. It's a good time.
I'm trying to think of a Nike Pavilion story now.
It's a good time to take a break, man. Since we're going back, man, we're going to play a little bit of the music that our parents used to
get. This is the picnic, the family reunion.
Oh yeah, family
special.
Reunion. You know, your uncle got on the linen, the 2-piece coordinate set from K&G.
Don't forget the sandals.
Right,
the mandals. Not sandals, but mandals. But if you want to call in and talk live on the show, the number is 607-203-5368. You are listening to the Keno Tri Show. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Call me now.
Drums, please. Slightly transformed, just a bit of a break from the norm, just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix, and if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past, adjust the bass and let the alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme, and put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime. Summertime.
sort of a buzz. But back then I didn't really know what it was. But now I see what happened is the way that people respond to summer madness. The weather is hot and girls are dressing less and checking out the fellas to tell them who's best. Riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos, or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly, we be out in the park. A place called the Plateau is where everybody goes. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise. Honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turn around and see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac. And with a pen and pad, I compose this rhyme to hit you and to get you equipped for the summertime. Set. Yeah, I got on sneaks, but I need a new pair. Cause basketball courts in the summer got girls there. The temperature's about 88. Hop in the water plug, just for old time's sake. Break to your crib, change your clothes once more. Cause you're invited to a barbecue to start at 4. Sitting with your friends, y'all reminisce about the days growing up and the first person you kissed. And as I think back, makes me wonder how the smell from a grill can spark off nostalgia. All the kids playing out front, little boys messing around with the girls playing double dutch. While the DJ spinning a tune as the old folks dance at your family reunion. Then 6 o'clock rolls around. You just finished wiping your car down. It's time to cruise, so you go to the summertime hangout. It looks like a car show. Everybody come looking real fine, fresh from the barbershop, a fly from the beauty salon. Every moment fronting and maxing, chilling in the car, they spend all day waxing. Leaning to the side, but you can't speed through 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you. There's an air of love and of happiness, and this is the Fresh Prince's new definition of summer madness.
Yes, we are back from the big walk down memory lane for all you Atlanta heads out there who are listening. We're in the building with Taj Turner, visiting from Oakland, California. And, man, we're having a good time.
Got my little mini-me with me, too.
And mini-me.
His name's Jordan, but the girls in school call him JoJo.
JoJo.
But they call him that, and then they kind of like, they just kind of run off just smitten because they... Apparently he's running it.
Okay. LL Cool J Square.
Yeah. and here's the thing, they'd be like, "Hey JoJo," and he'd just be like, "Hey."
They probably call him J Love, J Money. What's up, right? J Money?
I know what's going on. As soon as you left, he walked into school giving chest bumps to the guys. Right. Oh, what's up, my G? Right. Hey Jennifer, come here. Let me holler at you.
Nah, no Jennifer's, man. I hope it's Keisha's and
his school's pretty international, man. They got all of them.
Maybe some Hung Lee's. Any hunger?
Probably. He's not there yet.
That's what I said. That's the best way to go in international, man. Because if you're raised with black girls all your life, sometimes you get a warped sense of reality. they can do a number on you sometimes. You know, shout out to my Nubian sisters.
But, right.
See how you try to clean that up?
Right.
Shout out,
Nubian. Yeah, right.
My Nubian. The Nubians, not the... Section 80ians,
right?
Stay away from them Section 80ians. They take it down.
he was trying to explain. I still don't know what fleek means. I'm trying to.
The real definition of fleek is like.
Oh, please break it down. Because he just laughs at me when I ask him. He's just like.
Well, that's like a hip new term that I guess 2 Chainz brought it up. But the real definition of fleek ain't. It's not what the kids use. Yeah, it's not.
What is it?
Like, it's like doo-doo juice and
doo-doo juice.
Like, it's stupid. It's like, why would
that
you
juice to be dripping from the garbage truck
fleek.
When it rides
It's
down
on
the
doo-doo juice.
It's like,
actually, that
you...
sounds even doper, man.
It's on doo-doo juice.
Hey, man, my outfit was on doo-doo juice that night, boy. Boy, that sounds like some old shit.
And he's
shit
looking
there.
Like, I'm in here with these old
ass man. show him that doo-doo juice walk. Oh! Never mind.
Said the doo-doo juice walk. That would be a... You know what?
Right?
If they put that song out, it probably would...
We just made the next hit. Jordan, write that down, man.
Yeah.
Doo-doo juice.
Hey, right? I got a studio
do that doo-doo
here.
Juice.
We can record
do
it.
Do that doo-doo juice.
We can record it.
Right?
Or make that monkey...
Three of us just be like, you know?
Make that monkey squeak. That'd be a... make that monkey squeak.
We just look at stuff in the room and just random objects and just start
it could
chanting
be
it. Boom, got a rap.
They have dumbed down music to the point of... Yeah, third grade education is all you need to succeed.
Like, right? You'll make $1 million. That's the sad part, is like the amount of money that Soulja Boy made on ringtone
yes.
for his first song
yep. Yep.
outdid everything Tribe Called Quest ever made, ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's amazing. I watched an interview with David Banner today, and he talked about diversifying in the rap game just being an entry and to do other things. And he was saying
that on DJ Vlad's channel?
Yeah, Vlad's. And he had mentioned that doing like a Mountain Dew commercial or something. He said he made more doing that Mountain Dew commercial than he did touring on the road every night
wow.
for a year.
I thought that was Gatorade.
Was it Gatorade? I'm sorry. Gatorade.
Yeah, oh, yeah, because he's into his...
Yeah, yeah. His so he was now. Like, you know, just capitalizing on opportunities. And you see opportunity, you need to jump on it. And I agree. So the
yeah.
stage...
Well, see, and that's the yeah. thing. That's the unfortunate side of why we've seen rap turn into what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Because
100%
because of
commercial.
That, like, hey, I can, you know, I can just make... a doo-doo juice song, and I'll make them, you know, like literally just sitting like, oh, doo-doo
what do they
juice.
Say, Ice Ice Baby, Vanilla
these,
Ice made $17 million?
Yeah.
Most of these people that's out, especially, you know, you got these rappers that's our age and older that's still
mm-hmm.
trying to act like that young. They know
oh, yeah.
that the message is horrible. Matter of fact, it's funny when you see cats like Master P trying to come back and give a positive message, but then he see he didn't make no money off that,
so
now
so
he's back
yeah.
selling dope.
Yeah.
Listen,
like,
you don't
on,
sell
man.
Drugs. Get down somewhere.
You own like 30 Chick-fil-A's in New Orleans,
right?
Yeah, you talking about
the
my
most
goons.
Expensive part of Southern California.
You moving? Wait, no, you moving chicken tenders, Mr. P. I'm gonna need you to sit down, man.
I think I saw TMZ find him in a Whole Foods parking lot in Orange County once. It's like, why did you stop rapping? Like, because I live in Orange County.
Right.
Stick to that.
And Romeo's doing commercials for them little suspicious accreditation-ass colleges.
Right. Right.
Sitting on the couch, get up. I'm Romeo. Romeo, we know you went to USC.
Right. And you played on the basketball
team. I heard Bowwow's driving for Uber. I saw that on
man,
Facebook somewhere.
I think
here.
That was a rumor.
Was that just a rumor?
Yeah, I think it was a rumor.
Bowwow's going to be rich for the rest of his life.
Is he?
Probably royalties from something.
Royalties.
Yeah, from something.
No, Jermaine Dupri's going to have royalties for the rest of his life.
Yeah, because he robbed everybody.
Him and the brat.
You know, there's a basketball player, Vin Baker. I just read
he's
working at
Starbucks.
Damn. And the only reason he's working at Starbucks because Starbucks was owned by a former owner of Seattle Sonics back in the day. He owned Starbucks. He's the owner of Starbucks. Guess felt sorry for him, gave him like a little management position. But I mean, Ben Baker had made like over $100 million in the NBA, and he was another one of those cases of blowing through money.
Yeah.
Now here's this: if he was really his friend, why wouldn't he just give him a Starbucks to start over?
That ain't how it works.
How do you
man?
Be
that
like, I like you, but you got
to
work at the
register. My kids need, you know, I'm trying to save up for my kids.
But I mean, come on now. Would you really give somebody a Starbucks who blew through
$100
million?
Come
on
now.
Nah. Yeah, you don't.
Well, I give them a management position
and
a mean-ass assistant manager. Like assistant manager with a PhD. You
right,
know?
I would give him something. I don't know if I would necessarily give him an entire business. I would give him something more than that because I know that just off his name, period, he can potentially make more because he was a dope. He was a star player.
Yeah, Vin Baker was an all-star.
So you give him something, but you put the contracts out that are like,
rap
game.
If I put this management position at Starbucks down the street here on in North Atlanta and you take it, maybe you couldn't make more money.
Yeah, that's That's a good point.
Touche.
and how we know this management little management position isn't a test. Like, okay, you blew through $100 million. Are you wiser now? Let me make you manager of one of the Starbucks.
And well, see, he can make six figures coaching for high school.
My old high school football coach was
making six figures at Grady.
Yeah, he's actually trying to get into coaching, and he wants to coach on the NBA level. He don't even want to start in high school or college.
Well,
he wants to go straight to NBA.
If Tim Hardaway is coaching
at
high
Starbucks,
school,
yeah.
then he's not going to go to
Well, you never know.
Tim Hardaway is coaching high school.
And that's why he's working at Starbucks, see?
It ain't about who you know. It's
well,
who knows you. Who knows you and won't give you a shot. So,
Ben, I tried to fight for you.
Well, they giving him a shot. Well, give me two shots. It's early. I need
a triple latte.
Right.
Wait a minute. Ain't you Vin Baker? I got your basketball card ripped up.
That's dope, man. Oh, so throw, but make it three shots.
That's disrespectful.
No, that's not how I. Actually, that's not. No.
Can I speak to your district manager?
Yeah. Can you just make it over again?
Wow, and he's probably the tallest Starbucks manager they have because
right?
Baker was like 6'8", 6'9", or something like that.
Yeah.
He was a power forward in the league. So
that's
this big ass brother in front of the latte machine making you a.
See, George, that's why I tell you join all them clubs, man.
Yeah.
My son, he plays ball. He's mean too.
Oh, for real? Basketball?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay. Okay. You got skills.
He really is the taller version of the better, taller, faster.
Who? What's your position?
1 and 2.
Watch out.
See? Yeah.
1 and 2.
Right?
Well, did you play basketball?
No, I played football.
Okay. So I believe children, whatever sport you put them in, their body adapts to the sport.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen kids that they come from a short family, but they play basketball, and sometimes they get it. Your
kid's
body naturally.
Over me.
Yeah, there's
yep.
certain exercise they do, and your body naturally adapts. Good for you, man.
I
you
thought you
played
about
basketball.
To break out.
I should have. That's the moral of the story. I should have played basketball.
I thought you were about to break out when you said, "I believe the children are
the future."
Teach them well and let them lead.
Well, like we know, female gymnasts don't have boobs. You'll never see a big titted.
Because it all turns into muscle.
Yeah, because it stunts their growth. They're already doing all that
but
stuff.
They got them
right. Just saying.
Matter of fact, since we're talking about that, I want to give a shout out to my baby, Dominique Dawes.
Oh, there you go. Dominique Dawes actually works for Michelle Obama, right?
She does?
Yeah, I think she's
part of her health. Kind
yeah, that
of
fitness
thing.
Initiative. I think
nice.
Dominique Dawes is an advisor or something.
Beautiful. Right now.
What's what was the one from the Dominique Dawes reincarnate from last Olympics? What was her name?
I can't think of her name. They talked
Johnson,
about her hair.
Something Johnson.
Talking about she was short.
She was short.
She was the only
little chocolate
the black
girl
and they talked about.
They were trying to diss her hair.
Did it begin with a G?
Something Johnson.
Gabby.
Gabby
Douglas. Gabby
I don't
Douglas.
Know why I just was racist as hell, just like Johnson. Jenkins. Something
girl.
Jenkins Johnson.
Gabby Brown.
Little pickaninny. Yeah. She's kind of disappeared out of the limelight for a
I
minute,
hope she comes back, man.
Yeah,
my
I'm
daughter.
Sure she's going to come back. How
my
long?
6-year-old, man, she was all about Gabby during the Olympics. Oh, my God.
Actually, when I've seen her, she's been polished. I've seen her in a few magazine ads where they've, she's really cleaned up.
Oh, nice.
And,
she got some money going
up.
Now. Her hair wasn't bad. It was just that I think her handlers were not black. Yeah, exactly.
Damn hair, so
white people, and they were doing the best they could. Yeah. They were in China. Black athletes couldn't go out after dark. I don't know. I'm just adding that in there.
I was about to say, really?
that was a fact. That's why Kobe didn't go.
Yeah.
Is racist over in China?
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Kobe,
buddy.
He stayed and protested because black athletes couldn't go out after dark.
Yeah.
Wow. Because right about now, they have a whole bunch of mixed 2-year-olds.
Yeah, China is actually executing their darker Chinese people.
Yeah.
They're actually, there's some stuff going on in China.
Right.
They done swept under the rug, but,
they keep it under wraps a little bit better.
But Gabby Douglas, hopefully she comes
back. True story, man. I saw her at the Whole Foods on Ponce. I swear, all my stories sound like that. I was walking in the Whole Foods. I was walking in the Whole Foods, and this girl walked out in a one-piece bikini and some flip-flops. And I was like, man, that girl looked just like Gabby Douglas, right? And she's just like eating something and throwing the wrapper on the ground. And then I remember that because I was like, that was rude.
Littering?
Yeah, I was like, that was rude. And then she got in a limo, and that's when I was like, that was Gabby Douglas.
Wow, not Miss Wheaties box.
So wait a minute. not only do you litter, but then you hop in a limo where it probably has a million ashtrays.
Right.
You should have chased that limo down and say, ma'am.
But why were you, and it was like wintertime, but why are you just walking around in your bikini? No one had any kind of
bikini on.
She had the, you know, the leotard. Yeah, well, she had the leotard onesie, yeah.
No,
you know.
No, I'm like, why are you walking around?
Going
tell
on.
Me more. No.
So what color was it? No.
You know what's so funny, when we used to do the podcast that you had down at Lowe's?
Yeah, man.
I remember.
I was hoping you was gonna give me some credit for.
Oh yeah, yeah. Shout out, man. I'm gonna go ahead and say it here, man. Taj inspired me to run a podcast. He had a podcast called, what was it? Drive Away.
You were my co-host.
Yeah, I was his co-host. We were down
we
at the Lowe's Hotel. Yeah, we had a great time.
Oh man, our headquarters was.
Oh yeah, yeah. Lavish.
You would have thought we made it.
Yeah,
you know,
they made it out.
The
whole, right?
Yeah, the Lowe's gave us like the boardroom, and we could see over.
Yeah,
the
boardroom. Amazing view of the city.
We had some good
times.
Did you
put on shows too?
No, it was strictly just a podcast.
Was that Josh Harris? That
no, you did put on shows in Lowe's.
Oh yeah. We did put on shows. Yeah, we did. I forgot all about that.
Yeah,
that was a part of the deal.
I never got booked for.
Oh,
shoot, not many. I think you tried to book me in January, and by February the show was done. So
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so
someone ruined it. Someone got up there and filth, and it
probably,
and it came to an abrupt stop. Yeah.
That's enough, Todd.
But I brought up the story because you used to come from Whole Foods with these green drinks.
Juice.
And
that was my Gabby. See? Oh, see how we tied that all in?
I was like, he is drinking grass water. What is
that?
Yeah,
man.
I'm getting hungry.
Right.
We're going to have to wrap this show up soon.
How much time we got?
Oh, no. I mean, we're good, man. We're
JoJo, you want to give a shout-out to anybody?
Want to give a shout-out?
No.
You talk loud.
See,
man.
He ain't gonna get. He don't give the women no. He don't give them no. Not an inch. He don't give them not an inch. And that's why they always like, hey, JoJo.
And how old are you? Okay,
he's gonna be 15 in a month. I'm just saying he's 15 now. Cause,
yeah. Two more years. Give him that microphone. Hey, I want to give a shout out to
right.
Yo,
right, LaWanda, Leticia.
You know.
Go DMX on him.
Wow. Yeah. What you really want from JoJo?
Give a shout out to your mom, man. Give a shout out to your mom, man.
Give a shout out to
he
my
said, no. Oh, come on, man.
You just came for Christmas.
Right? You know what? They act like
come
that.
Come on, now. I was trying to get you to come out and visit for Christmas. Now she's going to say no to me. No.
You know, I have my nephew here, and he's 12 years old. Same right. thing. I try to put him on the mic. Yeah.
They too cool for that.
Yeah, he was like, nah, man, I'm good. You know, ask a question. I don't know.
I don't know.
That's right. That's right. Wait till you get old. Our age, you
right.
can't shut up. Like,
right. Because you realize the clock is ticking,
yeah,
and now you got to get some shit in, you know.
The clock is ticking. Yeah. But, man, we had a great time, man.
Man, I appreciate you having me, man.
Oh,
this is,
anytime,
this is awesome.
Man.
Kinda...
I got to come to the bay, man.
Yeah, you
got
to come out to the bay. And, you know, we'll get some good.
And ghost ride the wheel.
Was that E-40, E-Fizzle?
That was E-40.
He's now see, you want to talk about somebody
longevity
who's he needs to stop.
Man,
that dude been rapping since 90.
I'd be more hipper than hippopotamus. Get off your
and
head his, like
but he'd be still trying to like, all right, so we got old school rappers that are still making albums, but they're making them for us, you know?
Yeah.
Like Q-Tip's still coming out, but those albums are for us.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas E-40, he's still rapping to my son. You know what I mean?
I heard this.
Be having little young girls in the video. You know how you like to rap over his glasses?
Yeah,
you're
like, you look
see,
like,
that's just kind
like
of
a
creep feeling.
Granddaddy now. Right? Come here, little girl. Let me holler at you for a second.
You know?
Well, he had that song with Lil Jon. That was hot for a minute. Snap your fingers, do your step.
Snap your fingers, do your step.
All the Bay Area rappers worked with Lil Jon.
Yeah, Too Short.
Too Short almost had he had a resurgence.
Hey, you play Blow the Whistle any place. And if you can play
that?
Blow the Whistle at church, and
right?
people will get, they will get crunk.
What was that? He had a slow track he did with Lil Jon. It was like, doo, 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 get crunk. Oh, no, that will not get crunk. Doo, doo, doo,
doo, doo, yeah, doo, I can't remember. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Man.
I mean, I still like Too Short.
If you had a
out
system in your car.
Rappers, give me some Short Dog. Give me some
right.
Short Dog on the track. I'll take it all day.
He did something nice recently, like paid for somebody something after some Black Lives Matter. Somebody got screwed over, and he like helped them out.
It's about time they give back. I mean, they ruined our
ruined our country.
Yeah.
So go see Straight Outta Compton this weekend, y'all.
Right. I mean, they had us calling chicks bitches. And,
right?
And
no one even thought about doing stuff like that, man. Yeah. Like, the hardest thing was, you know, before NWA hit the scene, was, like, Queens and Brooklyn and Bronx battling.
UNITY.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what's crazy about music now? You got Chris Brown calling women bitches and hoes. Like,
Luther, did the R&B
Luther Vandross would probably try to whoop his ass. He probably would
right?
win. But he would. When does R&B start disrespecting
right?
women?
It's over, man.
It's everywhere, man. I mean, but you know.
And the girls be popping to it.
Right? Dancing.
But he just called
repeating
you a bitch. What are you doing? He wasn't talking to me.
I'm
yes,
just trying
was.
To hold the door open for you.
Right. Yeah. It's over.
Yeah, it's a wrap, man. So that's why I play soulful and Afro house. I gave up and just walked away.
So we was talking about Compton, the soundtrack.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Now, we're going to get your spill on it because you're the DJ, but
okay.
Social media, these cats have been acting like this is the new Tupac.
Right.
The new Nas, Jay-Z.
The new Machiavelli that just dropped on us.
It's a basic album.
It's a hella basic album.
Like, I like to work out to hip-hop, and if I'm going to listen to some gangster stuff, which I don't do, but if I'm going to do it, mm-hmm. it's going to be when I'm working out. And I can't be motivated while listening to that album.
No. It's very right now, current, you know, he could have had 2 Chainz. Maybe 2 Chainz is on. I stopped listening.
He got like a million songs about Compton.
Yeah. When the original Chronic came out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the second Chronic came out, this is before social media. Mm-hmm. But the moment you listened to it, you knew what the anthems were going to be. You
right.
knew exactly what everybody was going to
yeah.
be bumping.
Yeah.
There was no doubt to it. You know, now we got social media, and nobody can say the anthem from that album. It sounds like an album he made in a week, like you said, you know.
I just had some beats, and then... He's not from. I've listened to maybe like a little more than half of the album because I can't get through it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's only rapping.
It's
on like
reading a book that
you're
forced
songs.
To read.
Yeah. Kendrick's on like 80 of the songs, which I don't have a problem with that. But
I
like,
get it. But
like,
at the same
we get
time,
it. You're from Compton. We get
yeah.
it. California love. But it's just like, yo, this is.
Yeah,
super
I was.
Basic.
I was disappointed by it, and I was thinking like. I don't know. I guess we put Dre over the years on this pedestal of like
have.
He's got gold plated songs that he's never let us hear, and he's just gonna. He's
we're
just,
waiting for it.
Yeah, he's gonna put it out there, and we're just gonna like our heads are gonna explode.
But I mean, it's getting rave reviews because look
because of who put it out.
Who put it out? And look at everything around it.
Yeah.
I mean, look at everything around it. Nobody's putting out quality albums. I mean, you had J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar,
but you know,
but I mean,
and those cats to
Lupe.
Me,
yeah,
to
Lupe.
Me, those cats. I get why they get so much accreditation right now because of, again, what else is out.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be honest, guys. Like, our hip-hop artists from our time.
Oh, yeah, what a bet.
Rap circles.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that
them,
I watched
know?
The interview with Sway and J. Cole, and one thing J. Cole was talking about, he said he remembers back when hip-hop was in the golden years when Jay-Z dropped the album. Same day, Lauryn Hill dropped the album.
Mm-hmm.
The same was another person dropped. He said, "You don't have that now."
Yeah,
like you had a variety of just dopeness. Where now, all you gonna get is the Lupes, the J. Cole's, the
yeah.
Kendricks, and maybe a couple.
You heard about Mos Def put? Well, I think he was kind of challenging Drake. I think he was throwing that out there for Drake. But
man, I listened. So he followed that up.
I listened to the follow up
because
or the backup. Shall
yeah,
we say.
And it kind of. When he was talking all that riffraff stuff, he wasn't even really paying. He was looking at watches or sunglasses.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
So it's almost like he was just talking that hip-hop boastful gully stuff, but
yeah.
he really wasn't serious.
Yeah, well, he wasn't like, let's actually put something together
yeah.
and, you know.
Because I think battles and beef is like the wackest thing to ever hit hip-hop, which people say that's what pushed the culture forward. No.
Well, there's battle, you know, and there's battle rap.
Yeah.
You know, which is like, they don't even, there's no music. They just,
yeah,
you know,
they just, I'm going to kick you, I'm going to cut you.
Yeah.
Blah.
You know, and this is slow, it's more poetic, you know
yeah.
what I mean? Beef is what kind of ruined rap. Battle, go for it, you know. Queensbridge, you know, versus Brooklyn, you know, back in the
80s. That was like fun competition.
Yeah.
Though, right
you
there.
Know, but like when it was like beef, like, and also when I see you,
yeah,
you know.
It's going and popping. It's like, rah, rah, rah.
Yeah, you know, and we lived through like how bad that can actually go.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, he threw it out there. I was, you know, I was hoping Andre would take him up on it. Well, see, I pay to see money for that. Mose and Andre going at it?
Andre would destroy him.
I wouldn't say all that.
Annihilate him.
Andre
Annihilation.
Hasn't even put out one album yet. But anyway, that's right? besides the point. You know, people try to put Andre 3000 in the top five, which I personally can't do because
he's my top five.
He doesn't make my. He's a dope lyricist, but he doesn't make my. He hasn't put out a solo project for me to be like, oh, you got 13
but
songs.
But how dope
fire.
Is it that he don't need to,
right?
And you still,
but he
and still consider.
But he needs to. Matter of fact, you know why he said that he quit hip hop. He said because
he don't want to be a 40-year-old rapper.
Well, no,
that's the most recent reason. He's had a million reasons.
He said something for the fact that it don't sell or because hip hop is whack. And I'm like, but that's the reason why cats like him and Nas and people that are dope need to keep putting. Because I'm telling you, this is my personal belief. If Tupac was around right now, none of these rappers would
even be trying this.
You wouldn't even talk about the Lil Wayne's or 2 Chainz and none of that.
You know, a lot of people diss Tupac. But here's the thing, man. Nobody. How many albums he dropped after death? Was it 10?
Nine, ten
albums
no
after
joke.
He died?
Yeah, no joke.
I mean, there's literally, that's the only rapper that you have to talk about in BCAD.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? when we say, Andre hasn't put anything out, you know, as a solo rapper artist, I mean, if we go based on just amount of raps put out, Tupac. I mean, dude got 10 albums after death.
Yeah.
You had the ones before. What was that, like,
most
16 albums?
Most consistent content, because there's a lot of rappers put out a lot of stuff, but you got to mill through the garbage. Like,
I was about to say, because Master P probably put out more songs than Tupac.
Remember on the back of the Master P CD, there would be like 80 CDs that's
about to come out.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah.
Man, one time, I went to the record store, and I was grabbing CDs. I had Master P. I had C Murder. And I had somebody else on this. Like, I was like,
right.
I'm not about to give Master P all this money at one time. It was just and it wasn't that his artists were dope. It was just like they had one or two songs.
There was one song.
The Soulja song was the hottest on every song. But let's take a quick pause. JoJo. We talking about record stores.
Remember Big Oop Records?
Yeah.
Right?
He's over to his head like, I don't know what in the hell
download.
A record store is.
What my dad? My dad told me he was taking me to a movie tonight.
And you know, the joke for us was like, you got an 8-track player in your car. You
right, that's the joke. That's our
now,
joke.
Now, for them, it'd be like, oh, you got a CD
player?
What the hell is that?
Yeah.
But where can I plug my phone?
Right.
Bluetooth? A music store. Y'all didn't have iTunes back
right?
then?
Right. Why'd you go to a store?
Right. You didn't have it on. Flip phones didn't have the internet.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Man, I remember when my phone had the blue backlit LED as opposed to the green one. And you
the
was
blue,
doing it. Remember?
The blue was after the green, right?
Yeah, the blue was after the green. Yeah. That was like, you know, you wanted to like, you put it, you kind of pull it out so, you know, they could see. Like,
yeah,
I'm talking about
like
blue. You know,
I
I'm talking about
blue.
Remember
when the phones used to have a battery pack?
Yep.
It came with a battery pack. Then when you dialed it, you could hear down the street. Boop, 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 boop.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
And it was like 35 cents a minute.
Yeah, yeah. It was, oh, no, 60. I think it was 60.
Yeah, when they first got 60, and then
they
got cheap.
Big
yeah.
old flip phones.
Oh, my God.
You could probably still die with them. Like, it could be a nuclear apocalypse.
Yeah,
and those
phones
are still
there. Yeah.
Do
you know?
Remember being on those analog phones and somebody else's conversation would come into
it?
Would come into it.
Yeah.
That was cordless phones, cordless technology.
Yeah.
Well, even on cell phones.
Even on the cell phones. You'd be talking, all of a sudden, you just hear two other people talking.
I'd be talking to my grandma, like, yeah, so I'm going to go, yeah, John, so I'm going to wait a minute.
Yeah, and it was always like on 10. Why was the other conversation? It's like they were thinking, like, oh, this conversation's too slow. Let's bring this in. You know?
Yeah, I'm about to go down and get some
it's always like that,
and,
you know,
some celery to make
man,
salad. I don't know what to
watch. I'm talking dirty. What are you
doing? Oh, just bring them upstairs. Just bring them upstairs, Brenda. Why?
Y'all are stupid. Hey, man, we got to wrap up, man.
We got to wrap this.
Yes, man. Right. Thanks for stopping by, man.
Hey, I appreciate you.
Where can
me.
We find you on social media? See what you got going on.
Yeah,
and house music and
girl,
whatever you whatever endeavor you got. So
see, that's what people think about when they think
I'm
1988.
Dude, when I first heard,
there
house
you go.
Music.
Start another story. Give me social media.
All right. I guess the most simplest way to find me is TajTurner.com. You can pretty much find anything and everything else about me there.
Okay.
We do a really big music festival July 4th weekend every year on Lake Merritt in the middle of downtown Oakland. similar to House in the Park here in Atlanta.
Okay.
Called Soul House, S-O-L, House. You can go soulhouseoakland.com for that. ToddSherrin.com, that's me.
Okay.
JoJo, you got a way. He don't even want to give him. That's why he keep him, like, he keeps him, you know, wanting more. Yeah, he's like, I ain't even going
to
give you my
now hand. Now you're going to your storage.
First time I got hip to house music, which I've heard it, but I never knew the title for. I was in Chicago. Was in the bottom of, I think it was called CT Pepper. It was Pepper something. And I was drunk. But I noticed that I had been bouncing my knee to the beat for like an hour. Same beat. The song had switched up a little bit. I'm like,
yeah.
What is this music? My boy who's from South Bend, who lived in Chicago, he was like, yo, that's house music. You don't know about that? All of a sudden, I'm up twerking, percolating, and carrying on.
House in Chicago is bigger than hip hop.
Yeah.
House is like for real out there, man.
Wow. All right, man. We had a great time, man, talking about the music, the nostalgia from old Atlanta. Freaknik, all that, man. For the people listening online, man, we do this every Tuesday, 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. If you follow me on social media, Keno Trice, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram. I post the shows, the times, the links, everything you need to know. We out here, man. We in these streets.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and we're doing it big every time, every week, so come back, man, and next time, hopefully, we have some people that want to actually talk, but we appreciate the listeners that called in.
Talking about
and
my son?
Online. Oh, yeah, we're going to make
was
a
was you just making
about.
A...
Maybe because he didn't have his own mic, that's
what oh, see,
on.
And then, like, there's one sitting over there,
yeah,
so
there's an extra
now
mic.
He's feeling extra snuffed.
My bad, when you come back, we're going to bring him in, we're going to give him a mic.
Had you put some headphones on, he'd be like, yo, check this out. Give me a beat, son.
Yeah.
But until next time, man, I appreciate everybody listening. Go out, have a great week. You are listening to the Keno Trice Show. Peace.
Peace.
We're going to skate to one song only. Niggas gotta find me. What's 50 grand to a motherfucker like me? Can you please remind me? Ball so hard, this shit crazy. Y'all don't know this, don't shit face. And as we go, 0 for 82 when I look at you like this shit crazy. Ball so hard, this shit weird. We ain't even pro be here. Ball so hard, this we here. It's only right that we be fair. Psycho, I'm LIBO, to go Michael. Take your pick, Jackson, Tyson, Jordan, Game 6. Ball so hard, got a broke clock. Rollies that don't tick tock. All the mods that's losing time, hitting behind all these big rocks. What's also hard, I'm shocked too. I'm supposed to be locked up too. You escape, what I escape. You be in Paris getting fucked up too. What's also hard, let's get faded. Liberties for like 6 days. Gold bottles, gold models, spilling ace on my 6 days. What's also hard, bitch, behave. Just might let you meet, yay. Shot town, Z-Rose, moving the next, BK. What's also hard, motherfuckers wanna find me.
That shit crack. That shit crack. That shit crack.
What fall so hard, motherfuckers wanna find me?
That shit crack. That shit crack. That shit crack. She said, yeah, can we get married at the mile? I'm saying, look, you need to crawl for your bar. Come and meet me in the bathroom style. And show me why you deserve to have it all.
Ball so hot.
That shit crack.
That shit crack.
Ain't it, Jay?
Ball so hot.
What she order?
What she order?
Fish filet.
Ball so hot.
Yo, whip so cold.
Whip so cold.
This whole thing.
Ball so hot.
Like you ever be around motherfuckers like this again. Who's your girl? Grab her hand. Fuck that bitch, you don't wanna dance. Excuse my friends, but I'm in France. I'm just saying, Prince Williams ain't do it right if you ask me. Cause I was him, I would've
married Kate and Ashley.
Was Gucci my nigga? Was Louis my killer? Was drugs my dealer? What's that jacket, Margiela? Doctors say I'm the illest, cause I'm suffering from realness. Got my niggas in Paris, and they going gorillas, huh?
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It's
getting the people going.
Ball so hard, motherfuckers wanna find me. Ball so hard, motherfuckers wanna find me.
same mind.
I got that hot bitch in my home.
You know how many hot bitches I own? Don't let me get in my zone. 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 The stars is in the building. They hands to the ceiling. I know I'm about to kill it. How you know I got that feeling? You are now watching the throne. Don't let me into my zone. Don't let me into my zone. I'm definitely in my zone.